Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think the saints should be walking in heavenly places in God. Sunday morning, Sunday school, I'll be endeavoring to prove that the conscious is a part of the soul and not a part of the spirit. I'm on a theme. Sunday morning, I'll be bringing a message on to prosper, how much, and on what grounds. This evening, I would like to speak on a subject that I've entitled, God, the Devil, the Universe, and Man. Have I left anything out? And maybe for Mike, I'll add in protons. God has created an ordered universe. The universe is a precise clock of stars and planets. If our sun could rebel against God, if it had a mind of its own and a will of its own, and move 5% closer to the sun in its orbit, the earth would be scorched and all life on the earth would die. If it could move 5% further away from the sun, we would go through an ice age and all life on the earth would die. If our clouds could rebel against God and refuse to collect the vapors rising from the earth would soon become a desolate wilderness and all life would die. If the clouds could rebel against God and refuse to drop the vapors, the sun could not get through properly, and all life on earth would again die. God's creation on earth is also a delicate balance. If you kill off too many coyotes, you begin to have problems with tularemia from the rabbits and the ground squirrels. Two of my uncles, both were federal trappers, and every so often the federal government would say, quit killing coyotes, quit trapping coyotes, and start poisoning squirrels and rabbits. And sometimes, some areas, they also had to take care of bears for the same reason. If you kill too many bees, you begin to lack pollinization, and you're having trouble with the fruit trees and so forth. If you cut too many trees down, then you begin to lose rain in that area because the sun reflecting off of different surfaces causes pressure areas to change and it's not pulling the vapor down out of the clouds on the brown hills as it is when you've got the green trees. The entire universe was created for man on planet Earth. This shows the generosity of God and the great ability of God. It's no more difficult for God to make a whole universe just for man on a small planet Earth than it is if he didn't do it. See, man always wants to bring God down and say, oh, well, why would God make the whole universe just for this Earth? There's got to be life on other planets in this solar system. Because man is always thinking so puny. You know, just in the spermatozoa, just the tremendous amount of sperm cells that are involved in the semen, just the tremendous amount that's involved when you only need one to fertilize an egg. See, those things show like every snowflake is beautiful and different under a microscope. Everyone is different. The rocks inside with all the beauty that man will never see, the gems hidden in the earth that man will never find. It seems that God is so redundant. God has so much more than we're able to ever begin to discover. Sin has brought a curse upon this earth. The universe is out of kilter because of it. The weather is out of kilter because of it. Vegetation, animals, man, and the elements are at war with each other and with one another. Fallen spirits war against unfallen spirits. Fallen spirits war against man. Man's fallen nature wars against his newborn spirit. Man's fallen nature wars against God's creation. Man's fallen spirit wars against God himself. At the fall of the last day world Babylonian system, when Satan and his demons are bound, and Christ comes to reign for one millennium, according to Isaiah 14:7, where it says, the whole earth is at rest. But now, Paul says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Romans 8:22. Any rebellion or disobedience or contrarywise action of man results in harm. Rebellion against God in Eden led to a major hurt to the world. Every wrong action by man gives the devil permission to enter the arena of life. I want you to really understand that. That's the heart of my message. Every right action by man allows God to work in man. Man is a free will moral agent. Free moral agent. Free will agent. He has a free will. Remember that. He has a free will. He's not on a string. He's not a puppet. God has limited himself on planet Earth, as far as man is concerned, to only work where the free will of man is exercised in behalf of God. Many Christians are blocking God and they're opening the door to the devil, and then they're praying for opposite results. And this is resulting in lack of faith because they're not getting the opposite results of their actions. And it's resulting in lack of trust in God because they're praying for things that are not coming to pass. Because God will not work against his own laws. And millions of Christians have become faithless and frustrated and confused about the promises of God, because they do one thing, pray for the opposite to happen, as the result, and it does not happen. And then they wonder where God was. It's leading to much discouragement. In fact, it's leading to them to become into captivity by the devil in various areas. Man plants wild oats, and he prays for a crop failure. And then he prays not only for a crop failure, but he prays for wheat, which he has not planted. And he can't figure out why God has not given him a field of wheat when he planted wild oats. And furthermore, he can't even figure out why wild oats come up when he plants wild oats. I know Christians who plant, if you allow me to say it this way, a male seed in a woman, and in some cases a wife, in some cases some woman who's not their wife, and they pray that there'll be no effect of the seed. There are even those who use that, I've heard, use that as a birth control method. Plant a seed and pray that it won't grow. And then they get pregnant, they're surprised at God. But they should not be, for it's a law that God has, that when you plant a seed, it grows. Now, your father, if you go out in the field and plant a seed, your father, and this particular seed happens to be darnel, tares, or, you know, weed seed, your father may forgive you, and God may forgive you, but the weed still grows. Man plants hatred, blame, criticism in the field of his heart, and he prays for a crop failure. And he prays for crops of trust and love and peace. And he wonders why he is so disturbed inside. He wonders why he doesn't have the peace and the joy that he's praying for after planting seeds of mistrust, hate, and all the other things. They can't figure out why they don't trust the pastor after taking seeds, somebody ships them in a box, and they plant in the heart of mistrust. And then they wonder why the seed grows up. Man plants seeds of dishonesty, and he prays for crops of honesty. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, we read this. Be not deceived. Now, God would not say, be not deceived, unless there was a chance of God's people being deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, won't God forgive him? Yes, sweetie, he will forgive you, but you'll still reap it. Your father will forgive you for burning the barn down, but the barn will still be burnt down. So many Christians fail to understand that. They think forgiveness takes away all the results and they're scot-free. And they think they have license to sin because they think, oh, well, God just forgives me. No big deal. See, I'll do it and ask forgiveness. But every time you do it, you weaken the fiber of your spirit. Every time you open up to the devil, you give him more and more space to operate inside of you. And that's the truth. He's like a wrestler. And he goes to pry you over, to pin you. And every time you make a move and he cinches up a little bit, he has a little bit more leverage. And he keeps working, and when the pressure gets too hard and you shift a little bit, you get a little bit more leverage. And any time he knows, that as long as he can keep increasing leverage, he'll eventually get to the point he'll turn you over. Every time you give in to him, he's increasing the leverage bar. And you'll eventually be turned over and pinned. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing of what? Planting the seed. Because he says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You sow, I mean you reap what you sow. Let us not be well-doing in sowing that we may have a bountiful harvest. Sow love. Sow patience in tribulation and trials. Sow stability when the winds begin to buffet you. Sow a closed mouth when you're tempted to bite back. Sow prayer when you're discouraged. Sow a helping hand for those that are passing by and see if you don't reap the benefits of it. As we have, therefore, opportunity comes from the word op-port, unity. It means off-port. That means the ship comes and he's right off-port and you can load him up. That's what opportunity means. It means your ship is pulled into port and you're loading onto the ship. As we have op-port unity, as we come into the port, let's load up. Let's recognize we have opportunity. You only have opportunity when you're at dock. You can't buy and sell when you're out in the middle of the ocean. When you come into the presence of God, the time to load up. Now he says, we shall reap if we faint not. That word in the Greek also is used to become just one case, they use it like a bowstring. When after a war is over, after the battle is over, you loose the bowstring and let it go slack. And then all of a sudden, if somebody jumps out behind a bush, you can't do anything. Let's don't go weary, for we shall reap if we don't become unstrung like a bow. Keep it all ready and taut, ready to use. Keep ourselves right there in the harvest field, sickling until Jesus comes. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And that word good comes from the word good. God, let us do God to all men. And I believe God is good. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith, particularly towards your own brothers, your own brethren. Man refuses to sow his field with prayer and with love and with God's word. He leaves the field barren. And he prays for miracle crops of spiritual life and Christ-likeness. He prays, Lord, I have planted nothing in my field. Bring a bountiful harvest of lovely crops. Now, what would you think of a farmer out in the field standing praying like that? You would say, Brother, you are a fanatic, if not a heretic. But Christians do that. Refuse to plant the word and prayer and love in their heart, and then pray for a marvelous Christian life. My friends, you can't do that. You can't watch TV all every night of the week and hide your light down at the job site and listen to dirty jokes, look at pornographic magazines, be caught up with the things of the world, take no time for God, pick your Bible under arm, put up in your Sunday going to meeting clothes and come to church and have a wonderful time in God. I mean, you've got to reap what you're sowing. Christians are just not thinking a lot of times, and they're deceiving themselves. The devil is working to turn God's creation and plan upside down. And most sinners, and I'm sad to say, many Christians are helping him. You know, many Christians are helping the devil. Didn't you know that? All the time. Lots and lots of Christians are helping the devil. They are speaking the devil's words. Oh, I can't. It's no use. Besides the rumors and the lying and the tale-bearing and the criticalness and deceitfulness and the things, the sins they fall into. And Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me and scattereth abroad. Now, God wants a world brotherhood of Adam. Now, don't attack me as being liberal. He wants a world brotherhood of Adam. All Adams to love one another. He wants peace. But the devil has come to make Adam war with Adam. God wants love between his husband, between husband and wife. A real love. But the devil comes to make them fight one another. I saw two kids go through the parking lot on a jog. Just before we came, they don't go to this church, they're just jogging through, getting over the glory, I guess they go by or something. And one of them, you know, was complaining against the other one, you know. I told my wife, I said, you know, that's the way the world is. Just complain, 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 argue, argue, argue. So all these kids want to do is fight, complain, complain, argue, argue. And she says, yeah, and they learn it on TV. And that's right, just argue, argue, argue. So that will ruin your life. These kids are always fighting between one another. I tell you, don't let your children do that. Slap them down the nearest rabbit hole and put a lid on until they get... I wouldn't let them do that. That is terrible. That will ruin their life. That argue, argue, argue. That is of the devil. That will destroy them. That will give 20 demons deep on them when doing that. And so the devil brings it up in the families. I was at a certain place, and a certain person was mentioning to me about, you know, asking. I was telling my wife, and I kind of work in the same office. And he said, "Well, doesn't that, does that kind of get on each other's nerves after a while?" And I said, "No." I said, "How does it work for you?" And I said, "Wonderful." She said, "Didn't it get on your nerves after a while?" And I said, "Not at all." And she said, "A lot of people, you know, they get working side by side, and they kind of get on each other's nerves all the time." And I said, "Well, we don't get on each other's nerves. You know, there is a place where you're big enough to not be petty and picking all the time. Big enough where you do something wrong, and somebody does something wrong, and you don't land on them for it. You know that? You know you don't have to land on somebody for doing something wrong? This will be a brand new revelation. I'll just pass you a bag here. Collect $20 each. It's worth it. That's right. You know, if your husband comes running into the door and knocks your most beautiful vase off and it crashes the floor and breaks to pieces, you don't have to bawl him out for that. Right. No, you think you have to bawl him out. I mean, they always do it on TV. You cannot mend it. Right. It's broken. They didn't mean to. They didn't purposely come and swipe it off. They have to pay for it too. They feel bad about it as it is. They feel worse about it than you. They're the one who broke it. You know, and you attack them, and they're going to feel attacked, accused, and they're going to get defensive. Well, I didn't mean to. And if you press them hard enough, they'll remember a time when you broke something. But if they say, oh, I'm sorry, and you say, oh, that's all right, honey, I'll just work it up. Oh, boy, I'm really sorry. Oh, we'll get another one someday, no problem. My, they say, my, what a marvelous spouse this is. They begin to feel really benevolent. You know? That's right. I'll tell you a little thing. We had a little family fight tonight, my wife and I. I'll tell you how it went. And my wife and I, we never fight. But let me tell you how it went. This is how I think family fights should go. I made a mistake tonight. My wife didn't land on me. And I didn't accuse her back. I was busy up to the dinner time and went to the table, and I get a chance to read part of the paper every few days or so. I don't get a chance to read, even open the paper most times. Not that I miss much. And I went to the table. The paper was there. I canceled the thing. The paper boy brings it, and it's be able to see the headlines and so forth. I appreciate that. And I opened up, and I was reading the paper. I was eating my food, you know, and I was reading the paper over here. And she didn't say a thing. Now, see, if she had been petty, I think she would have, well, I cooked this food and all you do is, see, she could have gone into a rage. She never said a word. And I was looking at the paper while I was eating, got an interesting thing, and I was discussing some of it, talking about some of it to her, you know, and what was happening. When I got through, and she fixed this lovely salmon dinner and everything, see, and I didn't say a word. And so when I got through, she just said, afterwards, she said, honey, do you remember that you've eaten? I was absorbed in my food and absorbed in the paper, see. And she just said it in a voice like this, and my mind said, what does she mean? And then I said, yes, honey, I said, and I hugged her and I said, it was delicious salmon. I don't know, I knew what it was. And I said, I'm sorry that I neglected you and I won't do that again. And I said, I saw the love sparkle back. Now, you see, you don't have to attack and fight when you got a problem. There are better ways to do it. And, we really got to learn that. I can truthfully say, my wife and I go year in and year out and never have an argument. I don't really feel it's necessary. That comes by little tiny people that will always think that they've got to poke when they see somebody make a mistake. They've got to say so. They've got to needle them for it. That's of this world system, is when they make a mistake, needle them. If you see somebody got a problem, tell them so. I do not believe in that. I think we've got to do better than that. When you see good, tell them. And when they make mistakes and things aren't going good, don't say a word. Keep your big trap shut. Right? Thank you. Okay, now we can get off and go on next point. I was mentioning about love between a husband and wife. Don't they fight? But the devil brings in all kinds of twisted sex until they can't even have a normal relationship. They got to have it so twisted or they can't even enjoy it. And then he brings adultery in so it's with somebody else's spouse. This is what the devil does. God wants submission to authority under God. The devil comes to contest every single authority. Children against parents, students against teachers, members of a church against the pastor against God, the people of the nation against the governors and the policemen and the president. The devil is trying to tear everything that God has set in motion up, turned upside down. Now, the earth was made for man and for man to have dominion over. So God said, have dominion over the earth. It was made that man might rule the earth as a vice regent under God. So God has not taken over the rule of the earth. God gave it to man to have dominion over. Now, some people running around, an atheist without a brain in their head, saying, well, if there's a God, how come there's a war? And all kinds of stupid things like this. How come people rape people and beat them up if there's a God? Say, brother, he's doing that because there's also a devil. And there's also atheists like you that won't follow the plan of God. Isn't that a war? That doesn't mean there's no God. just means there's a devil, and there's people following the devil instead of God. God has made man free for all moral agents for his own reasons, the basic reason being that there's no love, whether somebody can't make a free choice. Now, what is God doing on the earth? God is doing on the earth what man allows him to do. What is the devil doing on the earth? What man allows him to do. Well, then what is man doing on the earth? Well, for one, he's carelessly polluting it. But he's doing the same thing to his body, he's doing the same thing to his soul, and he's doing the same thing to his spirit. So why shouldn't he be doing it to the earth? It's just that's not the problem, it's only a symptom. He's a polluter. He pollutes everything he comes in contact with. That's why every time you see a wall, it could have woods all over it. That's right. They want to break every light bulb, scratch on every wall. They mean polluters. Destroyers. Because they are the destroyer. So they destroy everything they come in contact with. You think they love a fourth-class society, going around tearing up a first-class society, making it into a fourth-class society. I don't know. They are shipping down to, pardon me, you from these lands, but I can't help it, down to the Caribbean or for the Mexico for a while. And a ship them down and let them live there for a year or two. They like fourth-class societies. Everybody that tears up something nice should be shipped down to a poverty area and make them live there for a year. See how they like it. What's man doing? He's carelessly denuding the earth of certain types of creation and becoming extinct. And he's doing that because of his greed. What's he doing? He's cutting his own throat doing it, of course, because then they won't be any more around for even them to get. He's teaching rebellion to authority in the home, the schools, the civil government, the church, and to God. And our society is paying what it's reaping, too. Oh, no, it's reaping what's been sown. He's neglecting every commandment of God, and he's exploring every forbidden practice, letting the devil in like a flood. He's recategorizing every definition made by God, and he's reorganizing every civil, social, and religious structure set up by God. Now, Christians often forget that just because God forgives, it doesn't mean that the result of the planting doesn't bear its evil crop. Every action contrary to or in alignment with God's laws releases spirits to affect our lives, fallen spirits or unfallen spirits, from the devil or from God. Now, that's the truth. None of the sins, bondages, hurts, shame, demonic influences that we experience would have occurred if we had trusted God and submitted to His laws and to His Spirit. We would never have suffered any of these things if we had just submitted unto His laws. You see, we are struggling because we are out of harmony with God's plan. We are struggling because we live in harmony with the devil's plan. Now, I don't mean continually, but you know good and well that a lot of Christians are living just like the world in a lot of ways. And you're living in harmony with the devil's plan, that makes you struggle spiritually. We struggle because we are operating contrary to the truth and to the universe that God has created. There are, every so often, you see cars in a ditch turned over on a curve of a road. They're usually driven by the young fellas who are trying to overcome the law of gravity. They're not in harmony with the truth and the universe. Man is doing materially what he is also doing to himself spiritually. Now, this may seem like a small thing, but for example, today they're aerating ice cream about 50%. And I personally think that they ought to take those people and hang them from the nearest tree without a jury. Oh, pardon me, Brother Moran's out here. With a jury. Now, see, what are they doing? They're pumping. The FDA has allowed ice cream manufacturers to aerate their ice cream up to 50%. And you can better believe that most of them are going right on the 50, too. And it tastes like it. That's why it melts all the time before you ever get a chance to hardly, if you're drinking a milkshake, you can't, all you're doing is drinking the warm milk and keep up with the ice cream. It wasn't like that when I was a boy. Ice cream used to be so cold you had to. too. That's what the charismatic is doing out here. He's about 50% air into his spirituality, see? He's aerating it. He's watering the thing down. They even water the messages down they preach. So you got nothing left. You're getting a lot of melted, I don't know what, but it doesn't taste like the real stuff. They inject chickens to make them artificially fat. You ever buy one of those chickens? Slop, that fatty old slop stuff, you know, it's just there, you know? Yeah, well, that's what man's doing to himself. Not only injecting himself, but he's getting himself just full of fat, you know, in the flesh. I mean, he's forcing themselves in sin. Just forcing themselves in the flesh. And they force chickens to lay eggs by night by putting light on. Jesus said the night comes when no man can work. And they have found a way around it. They turn the lights on. You have first shift, you work second shift, you work third shift, see? And a lot of them are working overtime and double shift. They want to know if the chickens are standing over the chickens and lay. Production. Confusing the chickens, they don't know if it's day or night. They're trying to lay because they think the sun's up. That's right. But man's doing the same thing. He's working himself to death. Half the nation's on tranquilizers and pep pills, and the other half's in the hospital, you know, with psychosomatic illnesses, and everybody's nervous and got pains and everything else. They're working themselves to death. We're victims of such an environment. I got a laugh when I was over in Switzerland preaching over there. We came home from a New Year's service at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they have about 7,000 chickens on Pastor Niederhauser's farm. And as we turned the road, the light hit the chicken barns, you know, and they all came alive when the lights hit the chicken house, you know. Began to cackle and crow and everything else. They're even feeding cattle ground-up newspapers. More fillow, putting the fillow in with for fillow in with other things. And, you know, that's what they're doing spiritually, too, putting a lot of fillow in their life, that it has no real food value. You ever go to a revival and come out dead as a doornail? You can do that today. Read in the paper, look up the revival, drive out the tent, and come away dead as a doornail. You'll walk in, look like, what's the matter? Everybody die? You know? Having a revival. And I've heard them get up to the platform and say, well, I'm really appreciating the move of God here today. Hallelujah. Which means, when the minister gets up, the visiting minister, he says, boy, this place is dead as a doornail, but I got to pump them up a little bit. I got to say a few good words, you know. And so they'll feel obligated to stand up and say, you know, and the death reigns in the place. It's quiet, you know, nobody praising. These things are happening today. Artificial everything. Everything's artificial. That's what it is in a lot of times in the church world, not in the world today. Everything's artificial, promising all kinds of artificial things. Have you ever noticed you pick up a drink, something like this, a lemon drink, you turn it over and it says, made with artificial flavoring. You go down and you buy a floor cleaner, lemon-scented floor cleaner, or a toilet bowl cleaner, and it's a real lemons, you know, made with real lemons. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating, but not, but only maybe. But the unbalancing nature, all nature is becoming unbalanced, but the man's nature is becoming unbalanced too. If you go out and you lay in a damp ground at nighttime, in the morning, you've got a sore throat. You have, the body is beginning to get weakened, and as your metabolism goes down, and you're not, and your heart begins not to beat as fast, and you're not moving, and so as the sun goes down, and the earth begins to cool, and as your body is not moving, and the blood slows down, the heart slows down, and your body begins to cool, then the dampness of the earth, your body begins to get weakened, you begin to violate the body temperature rule, and as you do, there's a weakness in the body, and viruses, what are viruses? Living creatures that are living in your throat all the time, that don't bother you when you're strong and well, but when you become weakened like that, they attack. I have a theory that there are demon manifestations waiting, a part of the curse that God made, allowing demons to come, because demons work always for the wrong and God for the right. And whenever you let yourself spiritually become weak and out of tune with God, demons attack you spiritually. If you're mentally weak, they attack you mentally. If you're physically weak, they attack your physical body. They attack you in whatever area you're weak in. The devil cannot deal with truth. He has to have truth perverted or twisted. He's got to have a weakness. That's why Jesus said, "The prince of the world cometh and findeth nothing in me." He walked round him and round him and round him and couldn't find anything in him. Boxers hunt for a weak area. If they find a person begin to flinch every time you slam them in the kidneys, they get working on the kidney because they found a weak area. That's just what the devil is. Just what he does. He looks for a weakness and exploits it. And if you have a physical weakness, see, the devil cannot attack you spiritually if you're up spiritually. He can't do it. Just like the devil came to old Billy Bray when he was out in the coal mines. And an uneducated man who really loved God, a lot of strength and faith, always witnessing to the coal miners back in his old days, deep coal mine pits, you know. And the devil would come, he said, these words would come into his mind, "Jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off." And at the end of the chasm, you know, just you know, trying to frustrate him to death. And he'd yell out loud in that big coal cabin, "Oh, jump off yourself, old smutty foot, and see how you like it." See? Well, at least he knew he was talking to him. A lot of brainy intellectuals today from the college campus wouldn't have the slightest idea what was happening, who's talking to him. Some of them maybe even jump. If we smoke tobacco and get coal tar in our lungs and so forth, cancer demons come along. They're going to come along in cancer manifestations, begin to work because you have now begin to irritate the tissues that God has made. And you're blackening those pink tissues and you're irritating them until pretty soon with that tobacco, which is a deadly poison, and coal tar, these other things, you've given him an open door. And he works physically through that thing. Just like when the epileptic at the time of Christ, he rebuked the demon of epilepsy for the man to get healed. Now you see, but you can give certain medicines and they can do certain things and they can burn out and cut off cancers and things and he's all right. That's right. If the devil does not have any ground to work on, if he can cut out that weakened tissue, if he got nothing weak to work on, he can't work on you. But if you find another weak area, cancer will spread and go right over there. Now, if we don't feed the body right, it gets weak, the body starts to malfunction, like any piece of machinery you don't keep oiled and properly taken care of, and then it's open for diseases, dis-ease. Instead of being at ease, you're at dis-ease, and viruses again come in, or germs come in, or some kind of something comes in that is of the devil again, that God has allowed because of the curse of man, and curse of the earth because man has chosen the devil over God, so God allowed him to come in. And whenever you do anything contrary to the ordered universe, the devil has a chance. And if you live within the ordered universe, he does not have a chance. And that's what happens. I think we need to learn that. If we don't trust God, we begin to worry. Demons of worry will attach themselves to you until you'll just become a worrywart. You're worrying all the time. And you weaken your body, and then as you get weakened in your body because you're worrying, then pretty soon other demons come along and begin to attack you in other areas, and they'll bring you right down sick. That's right. You know, you can get terribly sick. I had an orthopedic specialist tell me, he said, this woman had a divorce, and every time her husband came into town, she got arthritis. And she got all the kinds of terrible pains. And then when her husband would leave town, they would leave again. He'd come back in, and they'd come on her again. In other words, the stress would result in pains. And so they got a lot to learn about pains, and they're realizing that stress can bring on all kinds. Bleeding, I mean, your body can bleed because of stress. You know that? Now, the reason it isn't just stress and then bleed, but stress causes the body to be weakened to a place where you go open to diseases and other problems, and the thing, you know, just snowballs until pretty soon you get all kinds of organic problems. You get all kinds of one thing causes problems with another thing. The thing multiplies on you. I could get into more detail, and I'm not a doctor, so I couldn't get very much, but a little bit. And the cause was stress, and you don't even know what caused it when you look at the symptoms downhill. If we don't forgive somebody and we harbor resentment and hurt, Demons can come in again of resentment and drag you down until you are exhausted. You have no energy. You can't work. You feel like quitting your job. You feel like quitting the church. I mean, your ministry goes to pieces. You're not doing well in your school anymore. You're having problems with your spouse or friends. All that can happen just because you harbor resentment and hurt can build a whole chain reaction. And the demon will come in every time you do that. If we don't heed the scriptures and we accept rumors, those rumors can upset us, get us so upset. Next thing you know, that we're just going through all kinds of trials inside, and we're getting hurt, we're getting miserable, and we go through it a while until it builds, so we'll finally quit the church and run out, and there's not a thing wrong, it's just a lie, and you've ruined your life. You know, there's a lot of people in this assembly that have left the church that they love, have left that which is good, better than anything else they've got. They've gone out, they've been miserable today, they don't know where to go, what to do, they haven't found anything that satisfies them. They're all hurt and upset inside and torn up and everything because they listened to something that wasn't true, and they left on grounds that was completely groundless, but just they listened, they were told not to, and the devil came in because the devil had a chance and said, if you don't listen to the word of God and the pastor of God, then he has a right. I warned you about this because I knew this as well as I know anything. I've learned this. He has a right to come to you and deceive you. A deceiving spirit has a right because you refuse to believe in your church government and the word of God and to follow it and do what's right. The devil has a right, and God has to take his hand off of you in that area, and he has a claim on you to deception. And I have seen many people fall under the deceptive spirit because they could not in their mind counteract the power of the devil. And they were helpless against it because they opened the door wide open, knowing full well, having been warned straightly many times, having been given the scriptures, willingly disobey. They cannot fight off the demon, and the devil just clicks them off one after another. I have seen this thing, and I have marveled at it. If we neglect to put on any piece of armor of God, then we are weak in that particular area. How long have I been preaching here? I'll close in a few moments. Let me, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, read to you the armor of God. Let's look at this a moment. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Give me just a moment to find it. I'll be closing here shortly. In 5-10 minutes, hopefully. 10 minutes, maybe. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That's not good advice, isn't it? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means he's wily. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, against the devil and his host, his government. Wherefore, for this reason, because a strong demonic government, a whole army in fighting us, the kingdom of hell, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice he says do all. Do everything that you can do. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now what if you don't have truth on? If you don't have truth, the lying spirits will come to you because you've given them an open door. And you'll be liar. You will lie and lie, and you will open the doors. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, if you don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, the devil will come into you and you'll begin to do unrighteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Supposing you don't put that piece of armor on, then you'll never witness for Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now what if you don't have the shield of faith? You'll always be doubting. You'll never be able to do anything. The devil will always take advantage of you. Wherewith you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now that means when they shoot an arrow that they put pitch on called tow, and they light it with a torch, and they shoot it, It's coming at you, and you put the shield up, and it hits your shield, and the tow comes sliding down the shaft and splatters all over the shield, and the burning is burning out on the end of your shield, and it's not hurting you. But without the shield, it would have struck in the breastplate, or if you're the luckiest, maybe in the skin someplace, and the tow would have run down and splattered all over you, hot and burning, right up in your face. And the shield is necessary to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. If you don't, you can backslide and lose your soul. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you don't take that, you can't cut the enemy down when they bring all the lies against you. It's the Word of God, for the truth shall set them free. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, every action by man is either in harmony with God's laws, or it's out of harmony with God's laws. Right? Every action, it's either in harmony or it's out of harmony with God's laws. And in each category, the action is either spiritual or non-spiritual. I don't mean anti-spiritual, but just unspiritual or fleshly or physical, I should say. Now, if you're in harmony with God and it's a spiritual thing, you will have God's Spirit. If you're in harmony with God, with God's laws, and it's a physical thing or a material thing, then it'll be neuter. You will not get God's presence, but there'll be no harm from it because you're within the laws of nature. You'll be all right. You'll be safe. If you're out of harmony with God and it's spiritual, you will get demonic activity. If you're out of harmony with God and it's not spiritual, it's physical, you will always get hurt. Because you're out of harmony with the universe, or the nature, as they call it, or the plan of God. And often you'll get demon activity as well, depending on the nature of the case. You know, I could spend a lot of time just on that alone, but I've got to close here. So I want to say, in closing, that Satan is without power over the Christian that will stay under God's laws, except in that he is a victim of others violating God's laws. But that only affects him physically. He may have to breathe their carbon monoxide or their sulfur or whatever it is. And so physically he can suffer because somebody else is out of harmony with God's laws. But spiritually, it's up to his soul and his spirit. Even when you're impacted by others. Others can force your body, but they can't force your soul and spirit. There are many people under torture, you know, that refuse to do anything. They cannot force you, your spirit, at all. Now, except others can impact you spiritually by deceiving you if you do not keep in harmony with God's laws and study to show yourself to prove the workman that needeth not to be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. If you will not know God's word, if you will not be in a place where the word is taught, if you will not find a church that's got the truth and the moving in the spirit, if you will not put yourself in a place to be open unto God, you can be deceived spiritually. But you will not be deceived spiritually if you're open to truth and you slam the door on everything else and you're walking in harmony with God, his light will be within you and he'll see that you're sustained. In conclusion, I want to say that there are some Christians on planet Earth that are following the laws of God. They're rescuing souls. They're overturning the works of the devil. They're letting the light shine. They are in harmony with God. Not perfectly, but they are undoing all the knots the devil's tying. The devil ties people up and they walk behind him and untie him. Ever play when you're with the children that somebody comes, they tie you up or put you in a woodshed and put a little peg into it, and that person comes and then he picks it up and opens them up and you're free again? Ever play that game? How many play that game? Well, we didn't have any woodsheds. No wonder. My, we got a generation gap. Well, my, you really learned some lessons that way. We're like the one who's running around, opening them up, letting them go free. I guess I'll be watching TV today. Maybe that's a problem. But we used to get out and run and do those things. And we're like the ones who are setting them free. And you know, you can go out and set the sons of God free that Satan is bound. And that's what God wants us to do. Amen? Let's keep in harmony with God's laws. God bless you. Would you stand, please, while we're closing song?